Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Good morning. Where's the pastor? Oh, boy. Glad y'all are here this morning. Happy Father's Day. It's good. And if you're watching from home, happy Father's Day. If you're way up there in the balcony, happy Father's Day. Yeah. It's a beautiful day outside. We know it will be a beautiful day in the house of the Lord here this morning. I know it's interesting to me because on Father's Day, in this crowd, there's a lot of folks that travel to be with their families. And so I'm going, where's everybody? I'm going, well, they're there and they're there and they're so. Praise God. I'm glad that y'all are here in the house of the Lord today. This morning, all these sheets, this is Father's Day homework for later on. So y'all come get those later on and as we close our service this morning. But we're going to be talking today about Spirit-filled fathers. Now listen, last week I went to get my hair cut. It cost $23 where I went. And I'm going, wow. And then it was like $3 tip on that. And so I was going, I paid $26 and I don't even have any hair, you know. So anyway, sometimes we throw our time, our resources into stuff that really doesn't matter. Y'all, this morning, we're here in the house of the Lord to throw our time, our resources, our adoration to the one who really does. And so this morning, as we're celebrating earthly fathers, we also want to celebrate and love and worship our heavenly Father. So I hope that's why you're here. Let's do our mission statement this morning. St. Luke's is a Christ-centered family of grace where all persons are welcome and wanted. We're committed to reach, grow, and send forth fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Y'all, as a Christ-centered family this morning, I want to ask you your assignment if you choose to accept it, your mission if you choose to accept it is one handshake, two pats on the back, and find one hug out there somewhere, all right? Ready? Y'all greet each other. Okay, I did forget, you guys can be seated. I did forget something really important. I know that on Mother's Day, we gave these really pretty flowers and carnations. So on Father's Day, we gave you nuts back there because all the men at St. Luke's are nuts. We're crazy. So anyway, but there's cashews, peanuts and almonds, and you know, I don't know if you know or not, but there's personality tests that you take to, you know, whichever, like all you cashews out there, there's something. Well, you know, y'all are really interesting. No, I'm kidding. So anyway, so please, this is for every boy, every man, every father. Those nuts are for you because we know that's who you are. You're St. Luke's nuts. Okay. Lord Jesus, come. We want to be with you today, Lord. As the choir leads us, the worship team leads us, God, we want to experience your presence. So come on and meet with us here in this place today. Make your presence known here today. Not just in the place, but in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord God, we thank you for all the dads that are here or watching from home this morning. And Lord, we thank you for how you have loved them and how you've called them to love their children. Lord, honestly, we confess, Lord, many of us have never gotten any kind of letter like that before. nor have we written one like that. But Lord, we do pray that you'll stand in the gap for us, where maybe our earthly fathers haven't been there. Maybe they've actually been sources of pain or hurt. Lord, that you'll come and you'll bring healing to us. You, the Heavenly Father, will father us. And Lord, some of us as dads, we're just clueless. We didn't see how to do it back in the day. We're still trying to figure out how to do it now. And Lord, we just cry for your help. And we ask you to show us, Father, how to father our children. Lord, some of our fathers are here in the house with us. Some of our fathers are in heaven. God, we thank you. Thank you on Father's Day that you allowed us to have dads that loved us. And Lord, if we didn't have that, thank you for putting surrogate men in our lives to witness, to be evidence of your love for us. Lord, help us to stand in the gap for families and children all over this city, indeed this world. Lord, again, we will never father as you desire us to until we let you first father us. Come, Lord, speak to us through your word today. Show us what spirit-filled fathers, what that really looks like, what that really is like. So, Lord, we just invite you to come. Teach us. Now, we don't need to hear from me today, God. We need to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading this morning is Ephesians chapter 5. This will be an interesting Father's Day text. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 18. Please stand. Be careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Here's the Lord's will. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Lord, may we be filled with you today. Amen. Y'all be seated. So look, we're going to be talking to dads. Maybe the rest of us can kind of overhear what's going on. But before we kind of get into what it is to be a spirit-filled dad, just three foundational principles for fathers and for the rest of us too. Okay, straight from this passage this morning. First foundational principle, how we live matters. There's a real temptation because of how humongous all the needs are all around us that we just feel like there's nothing we can do to make a difference. We're exposed to all the evil and brokenness and violence and prejudice that's all around us. And we just kind of throw up our heads and say, what can I do? It's too much, right? Or maybe we're dealing with a real struggle up close and personal in our own immediate family, even in our marriage. And yet we still feel powerless to do anything about it. And the temptation is to take just a fatalistic approach to life and say, well, whatever will be, it's obviously too big for me. But Paul clearly is teaching the Ephesians 2,000 years ago, and he's teaching us here this morning that what we do and how we invest our time, it matters. He's teaching us that our days may be evil, but our God is good. All right. This morning, you may have come here feeling like, oh, nothing I do matters. I don't care what I do because it doesn't seem to do any good. Let me just say, hear the Lord speak clearly. Your life and how you live it matters. Secondly, foundational principle, what we fill our lives with is what defines us. What we fill our lives with is what determines our direction. What we fill our lives with is what comes out of us. In other words, what is in us is what we are contagiously passing on to others. So if I want my kids to have, you know, a healthy relationship with God this way, a healthy relationship with others this way, then I better let God do that in me first. Okay, if it's not happening in me, it's probably not going to be catching on in those I love. Third foundational principle is that we were created to be filled. Created to be filled with the one and only one thing. And that one thing is God Himself. when God breathed his very living breath, his very ruach, that's the Hebrew word, when he breathed his very spirit into us, we became living beings. And in that moment, our very lives were dependent upon his very breath. In that moment, we by design were created to have his very Holy Spirit filling us and dwelling and reigning within us. What Blaise Pascal called our God-shaped vacuum originated in our very creation. Now look, we can try to fill this void with all kinds of stuff, but nothing and no one can give us life. I mean, we can fill the void, but nothing and no one can give us life except God's very presence, his very spirit filling us, defining us, directing us, and using us in our families and in the world. Look, out of this filling comes our love for our spouses. Out of this filling of God's Spirit comes our love for our children. Out of this filling of God's Spirit comes our sense of purpose and calling. Out of this filling of God's Spirit comes our love for our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ, for the world in which we live. But none of those things, like not our wife, not our children, not our friends, not our work. None of those things, no matter how wonderful and how beautiful, none of those things can ever fill us or complete us. And when we try to make even the best of those things be the things that give us life, those things become only idols that distract us and take away from us truly being dependent on Jesus. In other words, now I know Jerry Maguire, the movie, that line is there, "You complete me." Bullhorn, right? Okay, I just want to say, it's God who completes us. It's God who fulfills us. And as we let him fill us and love us, then I can love Janie. Then I can love the kids, the grandkids. Then we can love each other as God called us to. When we try to get salvation out of our spouse, or we try to get our identity out of our children, that didn't do anything but mess everybody up, including them, including us. The very first commandment that God gave his people 3,400 years ago on Mount Sinai is found in Exodus chapter 20. You probably remember the movie. Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." When we put even the most best, the most important, we put our family above him, we're not building our family, but rather we're setting it up for catastrophic failure. My greatest desire as a father is to love my wife, to love my children and grandchildren. But if that is ever going to happen, I have to let God love me first and me love him first. Arthur John Bloom says it way better than me. He says this: "The most loving thing we can do for others is love God more than we love them. For if we love God most, we will love others best." I hope that makes sense to y'all this morning. It's foundationally important. Okay, so this morning, what does God, we're reading through Ephesians. If you're reading Ephesians, the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians is all theology. The last three chapters of the book of Ephesians is all, how do you live it? How do you do it? So this morning, what does God's word teach us here in Ephesians about what it looks like to be a spirit-filled father? First, spirit-filled fathers love their wives like Jesus loves the church. Ephesians 5:25 says this: "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." We are to love our wives like Jesus loves us. Y'all remember how Jesus loves us, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." Yeah, God proves his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ Jesus died for us. Spirit-filled fathers love their wives unconditionally and sacrificially. We're called to lay down our lives for our wives. Love is seeking the other person's best, no matter what the cost to ourselves. So, yeah, Andy, I thought you were talking about fatherhood. I am. Fatherhood begins when we love our spouse, when we love our wife. When I was a young dad, I attended the Josh McDowell conference, and Josh and Haley were maybe 5 and 3 at the time, and Josh McDowell was speaking at the Thomas Assembly Center on the Louisiana Tech campus. There were about 2,000 college students there that night, and he was talking to us about how much God loves us, but he also was talking to us about what it really meant for us to love each other. He talked about how so many, many children, so many, many youth, so many, many college students really don't know that they are loved. And this is what he said. He said, the secret to your children knowing that they are loved, the secret to your children understanding love is not that you love them, but rather that you love your spouse. Now look, I was 30 years old, and that just felt like so counterintuitive to me. I had to really think about it. And dads, I think what Josh McDowell meant is that your children need to see you love your wife first. They need to see that love, feel that love, and thus experience the security that comes when mom and dad love each other as God intended. And of course, out of godly and healthy marital love will always come abundant and love. Love abundant and love overflowing to the children in our homes. I'm doing a wedding in 2 weeks, and it's going to be like over 400 people there. So at that wedding, I'm going to do Genesis 2:24. This is the verse that they ask Paul about marriage, ask Jesus about marriage. They take them back, Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two become one flesh. There's principles there: primacy, permanence, and purpose. Primacy is, I'm going to say, Alec and Lauren, I'm going to look them in the eye and say, Alec and Lauren, this relationship right here is more important than the relationship you have with your friends. This relationship right here is more important than your relationship with your family of origin. This relationship right here is more important than the relationship that you will have someday, even with your own children. It's Father's Day. And the very first thing I'm telling you as dads is that the first thing you have to do is love your wife as Jesus loves you. Second, spirit-filled fathers live lives that are worthy of honor, respect, and authority. Now, if you're reading through Ephesians, it's like Ephesians 5:22, all guys somehow know that verse by memory. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord. It's funny we know that verse, because the verse right before it says, submit yourselves to one another out of your reverence for Christ. But here's the point. We fathers have to live our lives in ways that are worthy of respect and honor. Galatians 5:22 tells us about what that spirit-filled life is supposed to look like. Dalee's already done this verse for us today. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. It's not about us anymore. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's kind of like a dance. Let us dance. Let us two-step with the very Holy Spirit in our lives. This tells us what our lives are to be like, and we are, this spiritual fruit is to be growing from our Spirit-filled heart. So I guess we're kind of back to the foundational principle about what's inside of here is what comes out of here. So Dad, let me ask you this morning, what's in your heart? What's in here? When Jesus is preaching his famous Sermon on the Mount, he's giving his followers his core values, and his focus is not on external conformity but internal surrender. His focus is not on what his disciples look like on the outside. It's about who they really are on the inside. Not merely looking a certain way on the outside, but having a heart that fully belongs to God. And so Jesus starts talking about what's in here. Look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Just a few verses. Verse 21, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. This is about what's going on the outside. But Jesus says, but I tell you that anyone who's angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, by the way, when somebody says something out of their mouth, that's coming from their heart. Again, anyone who says to his brother, rock, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. You got any anger in here this morning? Something that's happened to you recently or long ago, and it just always seems to be calling the shots inside? How about verses 27, 28? You heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. Don't have sex outside of marriage, right? But I tell you, that's a very external thing. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Adultery, you know, adultery is the destruction of this bond that we call love, covenant marriage, right? So this is what Jesus is saying. Adultery is not just when you blow it up with a cannon, you know, called sex outside of marriage. It's when you lust. It's when you let your eyes call the shots for your heart. And all of a sudden you're shooting arrows and you may just be poking little pinholes in that bond, but nevertheless, it's adultery. What's in your heart? Our world thrives on lust. It teaches us as men to treat women as objects rather than to love them and respect them as persons. What's in your heart? Okay, keep going. Verse 31, 32. If it has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. It was real easy in the first century. You know, the wife burns the toast. You just have her, you divorce her. You just write a little certificate. And yet Jesus says it's so much more. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. You see, the issue is here is that are you going to live in what you're entitled to? In your heart, you're always thinking about what my rights are. You're always thinking about what's legal that I can do. You're always thinking about what you can do because it's all about you. Keep going. Verse 38 and 39. You've heard that it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's the law of retribution. And it in the Old Testament, it's like, if you punch me in the nose, I don't get to come, chop your head off. You know, it's eye for eye. If you cut off my hand, I don't get to come kill your village. It's eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But Jesus says, but I say to you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other one also. What's in your heart? Is it the spirit of the age, which is the spirit of retribution, or the spirit of revenge, or the spirit of retaliation? You hurt me, buddy. I'm going to hurt you back. What's in your heart this morning? There are many spirits affecting our day. All kinds of stuff going on in here. The spirit of depression is everywhere. I mean, there's just so much heaviness and so much hurt, discouragement. There's a hedonistic spirit everywhere. You know, hedonistic spirit is, if it feels good, then do it. You know, whatever gives you pleasure, do it. You only go around once in life, so go for the gusto. That's an old Slitz commercial. Some of y'all go back that far. Materialism. Chasing and pursuing money and possessions. The one with the most toys wins, believing that but all the stuff of this world can actually make me feel good in here. The spirit of drivenness, where my worth and my significance is all wrapped up in what I do and what I accomplish. And guess what? I never stop doing. Just the Energizer Bunny, just going and going and going no matter what. Maybe this morning what's in your heart is some deep, deep pain from your past. Some deep pain that has caused deep insecurities in the core of your being. And no matter how good things seem to get or how good things are, those deep hurts and those deep insecurities just suck you back down, drag you back down to this place of discouragement and depression. This morning, what's in your heart? How is your heart this morning? Because what's going on in here determines what is and what will be going on out here. 45 years ago, Keith Green, a former hippie turned Jesus freak, wrote a song called "My Eyes Are Dry." My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. But what can be done with an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you and your spirit of love. Please wash me anew with the wine of your blood. Y'all, I don't know about you, but I need open heart surgery this morning. Jesus, oh great physician, come and get all that dead and decaying crud out of my heart and our hearts. Jesus, come and take out all of those destructive spirits that we've let take residence in our lives. Come, oh Holy Spirit, and make us new. Take out our old, cold, hard hearts and soften them up towards you, Jesus. Soften them up towards our kids, Jesus, our families. Soften them up towards those who you called us to love. Come, Jesus, oh great physician, do the surgery in our hearts. Get rid of that which is destroying and put your spirit in its place. Love and joy, peace, all those things. Okay, come on, let's go. Third, Spirit-filled fathers are men of influence and integrity in the workplace. Men of influence and integrity in the workplace. Now, as I read this, y'all are going to say, well, this isn't about workplace. This is about slaves and masters. I think you can listen and probably get the big points here. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. By the way, Paul is not pro-slavery. He said in Christ there is no male nor female. There is no slave or free, no Jew or Greek. But he's saying if you are a slave, be a slave, not working for your earthly master, but your heavenly one. Obey them not only to win their favor, not just to get their attaboy or not to get their punishment. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly. Not trying to please man. We don't live for man. We live for God. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Treat your slaves like you would treat Jesus. How about that? Don't threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master is your master, and he is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. There's no hierarchy. Everyone is created in the image of God. So how you treat your slave says everything about how you believe about God. How you treat your master says everything about what you believe about God. So I guess I just want you to know, dads, you need to know this. Dads, this morning, your children are listening. And they're listening with their eyes. They're watching to see not just how you are on Sunday mornings at church, not just how you are at home for the very, very few hours you're home each week. They're watching how you walk, how you live in your professional life. They're watching if there's consistency in your character, in the way that you work, in the way that you worship. consistency in the way that you talk about God and the way you talk about others. The way you talk to God and the way you talk to others. Y'all know the old story. There's a preacher lived in this small town, and so he was fixing the roof on his house. He's up on top of the roof, and he's hammering away. Justin could show him how to really do this. Putting the shingles on, all those kinds of things. And this little boy comes, and he just looks up, and he just watches that preacher. And he watches him, and the preacher's kind of getting a little, you know, prideful about it. Well, he must be really admiring how good I am at this. And he's admiring the work and, you know, how everything is straight and linear, all those kinds of things. And, you know, finally the preacher says to the boy, well, you know, son, what do you think about what I'm doing? He said, well, you're doing good. And he said, well, do you like the work? He said, I'm not here. I don't really care that much about the work, but I am really curious about what a preacher says when he hits his thumb with a hammer, right? People are watching. Your children. Listen, your children are listening to what you say, but they're watching what you do. They're checking out the integrity that's either there or not there in your life, in your relationships, in your workplace. Finally, this morning, Spirit-filled fathers are men who engage. Men who enter into the spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Get in the fight so that when the day of evil comes, and y'all, the day of evil is here, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Dads, if you're not fighting, you're losing. In fact, if you're not fighting, you've already lost. If you're not engaging in battle, if you're not engaging evil on God's terms, and evil is winning, and your heart and your home is lost. So this is how you fight the war. Verse 14 and following. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. You're not a hypocrite. You're not saying one thing and doing another. There's truth and integrity in your life. And you are a person, a man who seeks God's truth in your life. This Bible, again, this is how we understand who God is. It's also how we understand who we are. Buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Righteousness is about a right relationship with God and right relationship with others. And we work on that and we grow in that. We don't settle in and say, well, this is just who I am. We keep growing this way and this way. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. There's a readiness, there's a willingness, there's an availability that we will speak into. We will share God's truth and God's peace with our children. They may not want to hear us, they may not be ready to hear us, but if we ever get the chance, by golly, we're gonna share with them how much Jesus loves them. We're going to say, man, when I was your age, this is how I blew it. And these are the consequences of the choices I've made. But by the grace of God that I have, and you can have too, this is what God can do. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. You know, our shield of faith where we are totally dependent on Jesus, you know. Our shield of faith where we belong to Him. And so when the devil shoots his arrows at us, we just go, poof! You know, because we know we don't belong to us. We belong to Him. He'll take care of us. And take the helmet of salvation. Who you are in relationship with God is not based on what you do, but on what He has done. We are not Christians because of who we are, but because of who Jesus was and upon the cross and is in our lives via His Holy Spirit. And we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How are, by the way, the sword of the Spirit is not where you stick the sword in some person. You're fighting the enemies, the spiritual forces. You're destroying the lies of Satan and the schemes of the devil, not people. This book, by the way, most of us, our swords, we're going to go out there and they're going to be dull or about that big because we don't know His word. The sword of the Spirit has to be something that we really can use in our battle against evil. And then pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. All occasions. Not just the big things sometimes, but the little things all times. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. That's a lot of stuff. But I just say to you, are you in the battle? I could spend hours and hours and hours with my kids helping them do baseball or football. Hours and hours and hours, you know, at dance recitals. How much time am I willing to spend engaged in battle, spiritual battle for my kids? I want to close this morning by sharing a story from Todd's sons. And y'all all know Todd. Did Andy get us a picture? Maybe? No, okay, sorry. You all know Todd. Todd's on our staff. He's also lead pastor at St. Matthew's. And so I just want to close with this story from Todd's sons. Todd says that when he was growing up, he grew up in La Mesa. When Todd was growing up, from the time he was 4 to the time he was 11, that every 4th of July, he says, my mom and dad would get a room at the Ramada Inn at Big Spring, Texas. It was awesome, he said. They had this great pool with a deck overlooking the water, and then beyond that was Webb Air Force Base. We could swim all day, and then that evening, Webb Air Force Base would put on the most spectacular fireworks show ever. It was incredible as a young boy, Todd says. The next best thing that happened that day, second only to the fireworks, was jumping off that deck down into my daddy's arms as he sat waiting in the water, always watching, always ready to catch me. Todd said, we did that over and over and over and over again. Todd said, Dad and I did that until I got too big for him, and I started doing it on my own. Todd said, Mom hated it, but I loved it. Todd said, I only got stitches one time, and he said it was worth it. When Todd looked down in that pool, he knew that his dad was going to catch him. He knew that he could trust his dad no matter what. So I don't know about you, but I want to be a dad like that, that kind of dad. And the only way I know that I can be that kind of dad is if I am filled with the very Spirit and the very character of God Himself. When my kids and grandkids look at me, do they see me full of myself or full of God? When my kids and my grandkids look at me ready to jump, you know, they're ready to jump and they look at me, do they see me all focused on the stuff that's going on around? I'm so busy, I'm so preoccupied, so full of the stuff of this world, or do they see me focused on them and full of God? When my kids really need help, when they really need me, is the Spirit of Jesus in me strong enough in me so that I can be strong enough for them? Y'all, this morning, dads, have you given yourself so much to God? Let God give Himself so much to you that you really are being and desire to be the daddy that God has called you to be. This morning, these altars are open. We're singing this closing song. And as we do, there's these sheets up here. These are your homework. So I invite you to come, pray as families. But I really just, whether you're sitting in your seats or bowing at this altar, I invite you to let God the Father father you. To let God come and do what needs to be done deep, deep down in your heart. Because what's inside of you, that's what's going to spill out on everybody in your family. Let's stand together as we sing. You're invited to come and pray.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.